Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President with the John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. Just as a reminder before we get started, if you'd like to learn more about the five levels of leadership, which is really kind of the basis of all of our topics, the model that organizations around the world use for leadership development culture, please feel free to visit our website where you can learn more about our workshops, or even in regards to this podcast, like today, you can leave a comment, leave a question, and that website is johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. The other thing I'd like to just kind of introduce or remind, we talked to you last month a little bit about this, is that we now have a learning guide that goes along with our podcast. You can also download that on that website as well. And so Perry does a really good job of putting that together for us. Well, today's topic is a listener question, which when you wrote this down, I'm always, everybody that listens knows, I'm always very excited about the title that Perry comes up with. And I thought, oh, Perry, we actually have somebody that's listening, or somebody is asking us a question. Yeah. So, but here's the question: do I really need a vision? And I want to unpack this a little bit in the title. Perry and I were talking a little bit about this because this is not just an organization vision, but this is a leader to where he said, "Hey, I have a really small team of 8 people, right. And we're part of a bigger organization, a bigger vision that the organization has." And so do I need to really have a vision for my team, for the small team, and what does that look like? And I think it's a great question because right. I think all leaders, no matter the size of your team, we need to have this conversation about what that vision is for your team.
Right. And my answer immediately upon hearing that was, yes, you absolutely need a vision for your team, no matter how small the team may be. I actually think about it for my family. My family is a small team.
Yeah.
So do I have a vision? Yes. But it needs to be that your vision for your small team needs to be in alignment with the larger vision, as you just said, of the division or the organization or the company, however you see that. Just make sure things are in alignment.
Yeah, and for us, sometimes we become a little complacent, and it's easy for us to just lean on the bigger vision of the organization that our CEO, the founder, may have set, and then just hope that that vision engages our team and motivates them. When we all know that hope is not a strategy, and so let us just encourage you that you need to make sure that you are thinking about the vision for your team. And you mentioned it just a second ago. A couple of things that come to my mind listening to you talk about that is it connects the people to the bigger part of the vision. And a lot of times your team has a hard time connecting those dots. And the other thing I think it does is it communicates to the team what you're here to do, mm-hmm. right? Like sometimes they can get lost in what they are to do as a skill set or a responsibility. But when you can say and create a smaller vision for your team that connects to the bigger vision and it's very specific, it just communicates to them, and you need to be repeating that often as we talk about repeating the vision. It communicates to them what they need to be doing.
Right. And I didn't think about it, you just saying it, but it's really we talk about employee engagement. This is really a employee engagement
Without a doubt.
Accelerator to me is that if I know what our purpose is on my small team, and it fits in, how I fit into the bigger purpose of the organization, I kind of want to plug in.
Yes.
I want to row that boat
yes.
to do that. So when I look back at it, the great lesson that John teaches on 10 things that a vision should include, and we'll have to go through these quickly, but I really like the idea of thinking about, for your, even your applying to the big vision, but to your small team,
yep.
how do you do that? So we'll do these quickly. Let me just give them the first three real quick and get your reaction
yeah,
to these. So John
to.
Says the first three things that a vision must possess would be, number one, clarity, number two, connectedness, and number three, purpose.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
So clarity, and I love that this is the first one because it brings understanding. It's what people want to know. Like, you got to be. How many of us have worked for a leader before, when they have communicated to you and you just sat back and went, "What did they just say?" Right. So clarity. I love that's number one. It just brings complete understanding. Connectedness. This brings past, present, future together, and it also connects the bigger picture. So back to what we were just talking about
right.
is where we fit. Where does our small team fit in the bigger picture of this big team. And then the third one that he mentions there, purpose, this brings the direction. This goes back to the why we exist, right? And so you could actually look at the fact that we get into a daily grind sometimes. And sometimes we feel like we're in a little vacuum. Like, does really anybody care what my department or what my team is doing? And sometimes that'll drive a feeling of they're unimportant. They're not part of the bigger picture. Or, hey, that sales team is out there gloating about revenue, and I'm in here just sending out the invoices. And so you've got to tie that together, of the purpose of what you're doing to the bigger vision of that, in order for your team to increase their engagement level, which, to your point, the more we talk about this on this podcast, the more this vision really drives engagement with your team. Sure, so just a couple of thoughts on those three.
I say, for me, that if you had to pick one thing, that word connectedness is so rich to me, because if you can't connect, if it's not clear, you can't connect, you don't have purpose, it speaks to the why we do what we do. And if somebody feels connected and relevant to what you're doing, they're going to row. They're going to be a fully invested in what you do. All right, number four was, John said what a vision should possess would be goals. And number five, honesty. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so with the goals, this is big in regards to setting targets that align with the organizational values. So your vision, your team vision, will allow you to break down the bigger vision and really set some smaller short-term goals that you can track and that you can measure. So this is almost setting up some systems and some processes to get some wins, because the big organizational win will only come when you have a couple of small wins in each one of your teams and each one of your departments. And so you got to have those goals, but you got to break them down. It can't just be the organizational goal. So you got to kind of get a little bit on the micro side there. And then honesty. You know, for me, and a lot of us leaders, this is really just about the credibility that comes to you as a leader, right? There has to be that honesty with you as a leader to your team.
Yeah, I struggle with that word when I first saw it, because to me, I relate that to, is it based in reality? I'm not going to be dishonest about, here's our vision, I'm lying.
Right.
No, it's is it based in reality? I've been with some leaders who had some really grand visions, and they painted an amazing picture, but nobody really bought in because it wasn't based on reality. Go back to the connectedness to the past, to the future. What have we done? How are we going to get there if we've never done this? So to me, it was keeping things real, and honest is a great word there, but keeping it real and in reality. Number six, John says that a vision must possess stories. I love this.
Oh, and I think this is one of John's sweet spots right here. I think he does it at the macro level, but you can model how he does that on your teams. And I think that stories bring relational equity to the vision, right? I think it builds loyalty and affection with your team members when they begin to buy into those stories. Because what do we do when we hear a story? We immediately kind of put ourselves in a role in that part of the story, and it connects with us, back to that connected word, which is the human connection we're looking for, of getting our team to buy into our team's vision, is how do we get them connected to that. And then one of the other things that I love about stories is I think this could be your competitive advantage. And you think about it as an organization as a whole, there are some great stories that you can tell about how what you're doing and the vision of what you want to accomplish, right, is your competitive advantage. Same thing in regards to your team and how that team plays into the bigger vision. There are stories that happen every day inside your team that give your team a little bit of competitive advantage, maybe over somebody else that's doing the same skill set, maybe over a completely different department, but you have to be communicating those stories often, because that is what will stick, not only with your team, but it'll stick with the organization about the importance and the impact that your team is having.
Very good. I was
on
just,
that vision.
Just thinking about the word glue, the stories really are the glue, and like you said, makes it stick. And I know a lot of leaders think, I just tell you the vision and you get it.
No.
John is really keen on saying, how often do you say the vision? All the time.
All the time.
You got to keep repeating that. But I know when I was a young leader, I didn't do this at all. But I see it being used now, where a leader will, let's say, a part of our vision is second mile excellent service. And then every time they start a team meeting or something, let me tell you what Chris did this week and why it really exemplifies what we talk about, our vision for this organization. And then people kind of lean in and go, wow, we really are doing that. And it is glue.
So let me just, a thought I had real quick there. Mark Cole, our CEO, and I have had conversations about this. Of every meeting, organized meeting as a team, you should be telling some type of story. Yeah. And then we got down the road of talking about how the stories are directly tied to the values of the organization. And so leaders, as you think about stories that you want to share, make sure the stories emphasize the values of the organization or your team, not the individual. Right. And make that the focus. You can mention the individual, right? But make sure that you are highlighting in those stories the values of what you want to bring out in your culture and in the organization, not just the individual.
Well, he does that really well. When we have a call with him, he said, let me tell you about one of our values. Let me tell you where I saw that happen.
Yes.
And so, very good. All right. John says number 7, 8, and 9 of what a vision must possess. Number 7, it must possess challenges.
Yeah.
Interesting. It must possess passion, and it must possess modeling.
I think around challenges, here's the deal. I think human nature is sometimes can just be complacent. And I think you have to challenge your people. I think you have to, it's got to be attainable, but you got to make sure that it is something that challenges your team. It's something that will stretch them to accomplish things that they have never probably thought that they could accomplish as a team, which again drives the bigger behavior of the organization. Passion, this just brings energy. This just brings fire. This just brings the fuel to the vision. And then finally, he talks about modeling. This brings accountability to the vision. This is really, John talks a lot about leadership really is a visual sport. Mm-hmm. And people are going to be, people are going to do what they see. And so as a leader of your team, whatever your vision is for that team, you need to make sure that you're modeling it.
Right. I think that a vision without the challenge, I hadn't thought about that, but it really is more like a wish.
I'm wishing
we did this. Yes. You put a challenge in there, and that people really won't develop the passion unless they can see it modeling from you. And so how do we see those values? How do we see that vision being acted out?
That's good.
So finally, number 10, and this is a great one to end on, but number 10, John says that a vision must possess strategy, which sounds funny to be number 10,
right.
But it really brings a process, I think, to the vision. How are we going to do what we say we're going to do?
Yeah, this is how you get your house in order. And you, a great example, we started off by talking about your family and a small team and a values. And I think each of us as leaders should look at our team as a family. And so when you think about the strategy, this is the how behind it. How am I getting my house, my team in order to align? We're talking a lot about alignment with the greater vision. I think when you have the strategy, this is where it addresses problems. This is where you capitalize on opportunities. This is where you're aligning your talent. This is coming from that mindset of how I am getting my team aligned to do what they need to do. So as I wrap up today, just a couple of thoughts as we kind of end this session around vision for your team that may encourage you. Couple of things I wrote down. Your team's vision statement drives behavior. We talk a lot about common language driving behavior. That vision will drive behavior, creativity, commitment, and determination. And I know if you were to say to me, Chris, would you want a team that embodied those four areas, right? Great behavior, creativity, commitment, determination, I'd take it any day of the week. I think it allows, we were just talking about challenging, I think it allows you to stretch the comfort zone of some of your team members. And then finally, I think it enables people to have a sense of what could be. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about leaders needing to see further than others see, so we have to be able to communicate that. But more importantly, we have to believe in and paint the picture to something that our team and our people, they just don't understand. And so it's our responsibility as a leader to create that sense of what could be for them in their department, in their team, in your responsibility that ties in and aligns to the bigger vision of the organization.
So, Chris, this is all great and good to have a list of 10 and all that, but let's put some meat on this bone. Tell me, you're a leader here in the organization. You have a team. How would you give us an example of how you apply this and your vision for your team?
Yeah, that's a great question. When you work for a guy like John, and he's an opportunistic of adding value to people, and the ideas that he has are so far, even as one of his leaders for a long time, I have a hard time even comprehending what that looks like. And yet I'm responsible for leading one of the divisions of his organization. So I have to be very conscious about how do I bring this down to, maybe down to is not the right word, but to my team on a weekly basis, not only through telling stories, but casting vision for them on how they are a part of the bigger picture. So I think it's a great question. We have every single one of our employees on their desk has a card that talks about the John Maxwell Enterprise. And our purpose as an organization is very simple: adding value to leaders who multiply value to others. And when you look at John's world and John's vision, and that is a massive statement right there. Because for John, it doesn't matter the country, it doesn't matter the type of leader, it doesn't matter the industry, whatever. And so for us, where we really focus on the vision that I cast, and we tell stories all the time inside our organization, is that we are in the business of adding value to those that are in the corporate space, right? So every single day, we are talking to leaders that are in the grind, that are in the field, that are leading teams. And so what we do often is share stories with each other of impact. How are we adding value to leaders, and what does that look like? And so for us, our focus, right? So I take John's bigger picture and I come all the way down and I say, how are we adding value to leaders that are leading people inside organization? What does that look like around communication, from coaching, from facilitating content, from culture, from the things that we're doing here on the podcast? And so we share those with each other. And so John's adding value to people all around the world. But for us, our focus and our challenge is how do we continue to impact people that most often have not even heard of John or his content, because they're in this corporate grind every single day, and they have not maybe taken initiatives to develop themselves or whatever it might be. They just haven't been introduced to John. And so I take that all the way down to our sole focus and our vision every single day is how are we adding value to the leaders that are in the corporate space.
And getting to work with your team, I can tell you that they have a passion about it. They feel it. They're connected to it. All the things we said on those 10 flows down. Give a powerful leader like John. You got Mark, who's telling the stories and doing the same thing, and then at your level, doing the same thing. So it permeates through the organization, and I think it gets real. Go back to the listener question. Should I have one at my level?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what makes it all come together. Well, thank you, Chris. And we went through those kind of fast. So just as Chris told you at the top of the broadcast, if you want to see the learner guide, we've got those listed there for you and a place for some thoughtful note-taking for you. You can find that at johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Leave us a comment there. And we always, as always, appreciate you being with us. This is the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.